Hello, and you're very welcome to another edition of The Others, the Alan Kinsella podcast, where I look at small parties, groups and independents that have contested Irish elections over the years. This week, it's the turn of the Ulster Christian Democrat Party, a party that contested the Northern Ireland Forum elections in 1996, attempted to get candidates for other elections, but that was the only time it ran. It had strange policies in that it wanted to create an independent Ulster, to have all the churches organised on an Ulster basis, or six county Northern Ireland basis, had plans for a new constitution, Bill of Rights, and other things as well, which I'll get to later. Thanks to everybody who's subscribed to the podcast. If you haven't done so, please do. Please leave reviews and share episodes that you like on social media and so on. Thanks especially to those who support the podcast via the Patreon, patreon.com/electionlit. If you want to contact me, I'm at electionlit on Twitter, Irish Political Ephemera on Facebook. IrishElectionLiterature.com is the website, and IrishElectionLiterature@gmail.com is the email. Thanks. In 1995, there was a by-election, Westminster by-election, for North Down. And amongst those interested in standing were the Ulster Christian Democrat Party. Austin Scallon, chairman of the UCDP, had taken out forms for the election, but the party was unlikely to put up a candidate. However, he said the UCDP, which wants reform of the church and state, still had electoral ambitions. And it was the following year, in the Northern Ireland Forum elections, which I covered in the last episode with Democratic Partnership, I covered the electoral system and everything for those forum elections. The UCDP were running in those forum elections. They didn't include themselves in the regional lists, but instead were included in running in South Belfast, Belfast South. And its candidates were listed as Austin Scallon, Martine McLaughlin, John McLaughlin, Brian McLaughlin, and Margaret Gibson. They were the list within that they were running in South Belfast. So, for instance, it meant if Scallon had over a quota, he would be elected. If they had enough votes for two seats, Scallon and Martine McLaughlin would have been elected. If they had enough for three, Scallon, Martine McLaughlin and John McLaughlin would have been elected, and so on. So they had five names down for the constituency. The Ulster Christian Democrat Party is proposing that Northern Ireland become officially known as Ulster. The party, which wants to rebuild Ulster from scratch, has published its plans for a constitution and political structures. The proposed constitution declares the sovereign right of the Ulster people to determine their own future and define the national territory as the six counties of the island of Ireland, formerly known as Northern Ireland. The name of the national territory shall be Ulster, the party states. The UCDP is seeking political structures elected by proportional representation. These would include a prime minister, Deputy Prime Minister and a legislative body. It also calls for the depoliticisation of the Christian Church. The party is further proposing a Bill of Rights which includes the right to equality, expression and assembly. Party Chairman Austin Scallon, one of five party candidates running in South Belfast, said all Christian churches would recognise the right of the sovereign state of Ulster. Now is the time to use the benefit of a forthcoming election to reform both state and churches in Ulster, because it is the politicisation of the Christian revelation which is the curse of this state. Seeking to rebuild Ulster from scratch by Austin Scallon, chairman, Ulster Christian Democrat Party. Now is the time to use the benefit of a forthcoming election to reform both state and churches in Ulster, because it is the politicisation of the Christian revelation which is the curse of the state. So we depoliticise the Christian church and rebuild our Ulster state from scratch, and accordingly do not make the mistakes of our predecessors in 1921. This is the reform of Ulster leading to an independent Ulster Republic within the British Commonwealth, like India. The UCDP constitution is written outlining political structures and a Bill of Rights, transferring complete sovereignty over the Ulster state to the Ulster people. What is of crucial importance is Article 15, entitled Church and State. 1. All Christian churches shall recognise the sovereign state of Ulster. 2. Church territorial sovereignty will extend only within the six counties of Ulster, and ecclesiastical appointments will be limited accordingly. 3. All ecclesiastical appointments will be referred to Minister for Church and State Relations. 4. The church will not engage in the organisation of church schools, and all existing church schools will be brought within the controlled school sector. 5. Religious education will be exercised in the churches only, and clergy will be paid from state funds as agreed between church and state authorities. 6. Religious education will reflect the particular identity of the British Ulster state. 7. The Christian clergy will not become involved in political action nor align themselves to any party. 8. A Department of Religious Affairs will be established to deal with the church-state affairs with a minister at cabinet level. 9. The rabbi of the Jewish community will be paid from public funds to instruct in the Old Testament and will be paid on a similar basis as Christian clergy. So a quite unusual electoral platform with regard to making all the churches recognise the sovereign state of Ulster and clergy being paid from the public purse and so on. They were regarded as more eccentric than the Natural Law Party and wanted all churches to recognise the Northern Irish state, a reference to the fact that the main churches are all organised on an all-Ireland basis. So really, really peculiar thing to stand for election on. Ulster people, yours is the responsibility to reform church and state. You may not get the chance again before the millennium. For the millennium, support us to obtain an independent Republic of Ulster within the Commonwealth. If we enter the millennium with the same political churches as now, it will be a breeding ground for more terrorism. We need a strong Ulster state to reform the Christian church. So they had a Bill of Rights and which was mentioned earlier. Part 1, Fundamental Rights. 1. Human rights inalienable. 2. Right to life and security. 3. Right to liberty. 4. Right to privacy. 5. Right to equality. 6. Right to conscience and association. 7. Right to expression. 8. Right to assembly. 9. Right to participate in public life. 10. Interference with human rights during public emergencies. Part 2, Interpretation. 11. Sources for interpretation. 12. Principles for interpretation. 13. Principles of interpretation. Schedules. 1. Criminal procedure. 2. Administrative procedure. 3. Public order. And 4. Period of public emergency. Part 1, Fundamental Rights. Human rights inalienable. 1. All men being born free and equal in dignity and governed by reason and conscience, the creation of a just and democratic government compels recognition that human rights are inalienable in all persons, irrespective of sex, race, colour, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, association with a national minority, property, birth or other status. 2. Universal protection of human rights by the state posing problems not expressly provided for in this Bill of Rights. The enumeration of the following rights shall not exclude the protection of other rights not expressly protected herein. 3. Ensuring that all persons receive food, housing, clothing, medical care and other necessary services without loss of their rights from interference by private persons, being essential to the maintenance of a just and peaceful society. The state shall not establish, assist or permit persons to violate any of the following provisions. 2. Right of life and security. 1. The taking from a man of his life, constituting the most serious deprivation of human rights, the right to life remains inviolable unless it is strictly necessary to prevent the commission of an offence endangering life. 2. Health and well-being of the individual being essential to the enjoyment of life and security, there shall not be physical or mental ill-treatment of a person. 3. Food, housing, clothing, medical care and other social services being included amongst the basic necessities to maintain a standard of living adequate to the well-being of the individual. The state shall protect and promote the education and employment of all persons and provide basic necessities to all unemployed persons. Not establish, assist or permit a person to exploit labour in such a manner that the basic necessities may not be obtained. And require that there be equal pay for equal work. Now, under right to liberty, freedom of movement being essential to the person's development and enjoyment of his faculties, there shall be no deprivation of liberty except as provided in the following, that is to say, arrest and detention for a criminal offence, arrest and detention to prevent the spreading of infectious diseases and to treat persons of unsound mind, or arrest and detention of a minor for the purposes of educational supervision or for the purpose of bringing him or her before the competent legal authority. Prolonged detention constituting the gravest threat to the protection of liberty, deprivation of liberty, must provide for a speedy trial and accord the due process of law. Freedom to choose a trade or profession being essential to the development of a person's creative personality and labour. There shall be no slavery or forced or compulsory labour, provided, however, that forced or compulsory labour for purposes of this subsection does not include the following, that is to say, any work or service lawfully required of a person who is under detention in consequence of conviction by a court or of a person during conditional release from such detention. B. Any service of a military character and any national services required by law of conscientious objectors, and any service exacted in cases of a period of public emergency declared in accordance with Section 10 of this Bill of Rights. Free and diversified experience of the person being essential to the full development of his personality. There should be no interference. It goes on. But what's interesting, it's such a massive tract that, obviously I won't read it all out, I'll send an attachment when I'm putting out the podcast, but it's just incredible the amount of effort put into this for a relatively small party. The People and the State, another piece in their Article 1, the Ulster people hereby affirm their sovereign right to determine their own future and retain the right at all times to designate the rulers of the state. Article 2. The legislature established by this constitution shall be the only legislative authority. Article 3a. The national territory shall consist of the 6 northern counties of the island of Ireland, formerly known as Northern Ireland, i.e. the counties of Antrim, Down, Fermanagh, Armagh, Tyrone and Londonderry, its islands, seas and airspace. The name of the national territory shall be Ulster. Article 4. Nothing in this constitution shall prevent the acquisition by the state of any property, whether real or personal, whether actual or potential, including any natural resources, forms of energy, royalties, any franchises, for the use and benefit of the people of the state. In the event of such acquisition, proper compensation shall be paid by the state. In the article, acquisition includes compulsory acquisition. All revenues of the state from whatever source shall form one fund and shall be appropriated as determined by the legislature. Elections. All elections in the state shall be conducted using proportional representation, single transferable vote system. When vacancies occur in representation from any constituency or ward, the legislature shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies. All candidates in any election must have attained a minimum voting age and have fulfilled the citizenship qualifications in accordance with Article 8 of this Constitution. No candidate in any election shall be permitted to incur more electoral expenses per head of the electorate than determined by the legislature. A boundary commission shall be created by an act of legislature with power to determine, in accordance with prescribed principles, the areas and boundaries of all electoral constituencies and representative areas, any disputes arising therefrom. Article 7, voting qualifications. To qualify to vote, an elector must have attained the age of 18 years, been a citizen of the state, be included in the electoral roll, and not be subject to any prescribed disqualification. Citizenship qualifications, Article 8. All citizens of the state must be registered in accordance with sections 2 and 3 of this article. A person who is native born within said boundaries of the sovereign state and holding no other national citizenship. 10 years residency within said boundaries of sovereign state and holding no other national citizenship. Now it goes on, there's pieces about the executive branch, the legislative branch, the Speaker of the House, bills, salaries. No member of the legislature shall, during term of office for which he/she was elected, be appointed to any civil or government office until the authority of the Ulster state, which shall be created during his/her term. If a member of the legislature is appointed to any civil or government office under the authority of the Ulster state, which was established before the term which he/she was elected, and the annulments have been increased during the term for which the same person was elected, that person may only be appointed to that office at the salary which was in being at the beginning of the term for which he/she was elected. Actually, the judiciary is kind of interesting as well. The judicial power of the state shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the legislature shall from time to time establish and ordain. Section 2. The Judicial Commission set up in accordance with Subsection B shall appoint judges and officers of the Supreme and Inferior Courts. The Judicial Commission, under the chairman of the President of the Supreme Court, shall consist of one member appointed by the Confederation of Ulster Industry, one member appointed by the Trade Union Movement, one member appointed by the Law Society, and one member appointed by the Police Authority. In the event of death, resignation or impeachment of the President of the Supreme Court, another agreed member of the Judicial Commission shall convene a meeting of the remainder of the Judicial Commission and all Supreme Court judges for the purpose of electing a new President of the Supreme Court. Candidates of the Supreme Court can only be serving judges of the Supreme Court. And it goes on. Bits on impeachment, a constitutional preliminary hearing agency, education. Actually, this is quite interesting. Education. The state shall be responsible for providing full education for the citizens of the state and their dependents. The state may make provision for the full education of other nationals as determined by the legislature. The state shall not assist in any way the provision of private education. Private education must meet the minimum educational requirements of the state. Any proposal to amend the Constitution by way of variation, addition or repeal must be supported by two-thirds of the full legislature and presented to the people in referendum. If the amendment is supported in the referendum by two-thirds of those voting, the Constitution will be deemed to have been so amended. Again, this is fairly long, but I'll put a link in with the podcast to all these documents. As I say, for such a small party, it's quite, they produced quite a lot. So that was a sample of some of the material they produced for the forum elections. So how did they get on in those forum elections? Well, in, as I said, they were running in Belfast South. On 31 votes, they finished last of all the registered groups running in these Northern Ireland Forum elections. That lack of success didn't seem to deter them. And a year later, party seeks candidates. Ulster's least successful political party is seeking Christian candidates to fight the general election. The Ulster Christian Democratic Party came last out of the 24 parties which fought the forum elections last year, polling to just 31 votes in South Belfast. It aims to reform the churches, require churches to recognise the sovereign state of Ulster, and end the All-Ireland structure of the main denominations. The party aims to solve the constitutional issue. Its reforms would create an independent Ulster within the Unionist family, but also a republic. Chairman Austin Scallon said, "It is the politicisation of the Christian revelation which is the curse of this state. We would want to depoliticise the Christian church and rebuild our Ulster state from scratch and accordingly not make the mistakes of our predecessors in 1921. Under its plans, clergy would be paid from the funds of the state as agreed between the churches and state authorities. Religious education would be the responsibility of churches and reflect the particular identity of the British Ulster state. Christian clergy would not be allowed to become involved in political action or align themselves to any political party," the UCDP states. Mr. Scallon said, "We are seeking Sikh candidates in all constituencies in the forthcoming general election via P.O. Box 105 Royal Mail, Belfast." The call for candidates was unsuccessful, and the party, as far as I'm aware, never stood again. So its sole electoral outing was the Northern Ireland Forum elections. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks to everybody who subscribed to the podcast. Thanks especially those who've subscribed to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/electionlit. It supports both the podcast and the website. Thanks.